good morning again, Valley. Oh, you can do better than that. Good morning, Valley.
Good morning,
man. Yeah, God is truly good. Amen.
Amen.
We're excited about our new series in Joshua. We'll be in Joshua chapter 3 today. Just marveling at new seasons. Every year, January 1, how many people start that gym regimen again? I'm that one. I'm faithful January 2nd. And then January 3rd, 4th, and 5th, God help me. Thank you. I thought I'd have some people in the room that understood we have challenges in staying faithful to the gym, amen? This week my challenge was the snow. I had a good reason, right? Snow, can't go to the gym. But you know what I discovered when I went for 2 days this week, this year? I got another challenge. Do you realize there's a Dunkin' Donut on every corner? Henry, I have studied how bad sugar is for me. Dr. Amen, Mayo Clinic, told me how bad sugar was. Brother Nate, I think I ought to buy stock in Dunkin'. Because those donuts, even though they're smaller now, if you truly go to Dunkin', you understand. They don't give you what they used to. So in my mind, I tell my wife I gotta buy six now, because they're so much smaller. That's a real challenge for me. So you're laughing, I'm asking for prayer. Pray that I'm faithful in this new season to follow God to the gym. Thank you. Y'all must not feel my pain. You don't understand. Every December, I create this great plan of how I'm going to get in shape in the new year. And the first obstacle that comes my way, I shrink back from that moment. We're going to look at a people group that have been wandering for 40 years with God in the wilderness. And as Pastor Mike taught last week, it's time. It's go time. They're getting ready to enter into the promised land. Can you imagine? I want you to think with me. All of us that have kids, you know you don't tell your kids we're going to Disneyland. Because every day they're going to ask, are we going? Is today we're going to go? Are we going to go today? So for 40 years, this generation has grown up hearing about this promised land, and now they're getting ready to enter into it. And God's told them, you need to consecrate yourself. I need your hearts leaning towards me and not towards the past. So a lot of what you're going to hear me talk about this year is about our hearts. Because information alone does not transform our hearts. I told you I had all kind of information about how bad sugar is for me. But I chase after sugar like you wouldn't believe. If I have a bad day, working with students, there's a Dunkin' on my way home. I think the enemy has plotted them everywhere I go. All of a sudden, I see Dunkin'. But instead of seeing God and how he's going to deliver me, I got to renew my mind. I've got to understand truth. And so as we go on this journey with the Israelites, Joshua chapter 3, let's start in the beginning in verse 1. It reads, Joshua started early the next morning and left the acacia grove with all the Israelites. They went as far as the Jordan River and stayed there before crossing. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp. Let's stop right there. Acacia Grove. A lot of things in Israel's life happened there. They were unfaithful to God there. They met the Moabites. And some of them decided they wanted to marry the Moabites. And not only did they marry the Moabites, but they started following their gods. Do you think God was happy with them? God was not happy with them. And as part of their judgment, 24,000 people died because of a plague. So Acacia was the place where God told Moses, "You shall not enter into the promised land." That was that point where Moses was able to see, but he couldn't get in. And so now this whole generation is parked right there. It's almost like being on a tarmac. Have you ever been on a delay? I was flying internationally, no joke. Plane getting ready to take off. Going down there as fast as we can, and then it slammed on the brakes. Never had that happen before. Didn't know what to do. I said, "Lord, please, I'm going to serve you. Can you get us there?" And for an hour and a half, we sat on the plane. And the captain kept coming. "We're just checking out a few things. We're checking it. We'll be on our way shortly." I raised my hand for the, you know, that stewardess bell. I said, "Ma'am, can I get off?" She was like, "No, once the door's shut, unless we deplane as a group, we're stuck." That's kind of like the Israelites were. They were stuck in this holding pattern. They couldn't leave. They had to wait for further instructions, and so God gave them 3 days to position their hearts towards Him. Understanding our hearts is what God wants. He doesn't want our lip service. He wants us to be who He's called us to be. He's called us to be holy. And so for 3 days, they were sitting there in that holding pattern. And let's keep reading. "And He commanded the people, 'When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, carried by the Levitical priest, you are to break camp and follow it. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between yourself and the ark. Do not go near it, so that you can see the way to go, for you have not traveled this way before.'" Is your heart getting a little anxious by just listening to God's words? We like familiar places, right? That's why we drive the same route to the same places. We don't deviate. When I'm coming to the church, there's a certain route that I take. Why? Because I'm familiar with it. I know what to do. I'm going to be honest. I know where the red light cameras are. I know where the speed cameras are. So I choose the same route. Now Israel's saying, "Uh-oh, we're getting ready to do something different." And God's called us to stay here because He's trying to prepare our hearts. Why is He trying to prepare our hearts? Let's see what the Bible has to say about our hearts. Jeremiah 17:19 says, "The heart is more deceitful than anything else and incurable. Who can understand it?" I learned the New King James word. The heart is deceitful and above all else, desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's a hard thing to know about your heart. You deceive yourself half the time, wanting to believe things that aren't true. Luke tells us, out of the abundance of our heart, our mouths speak. Matthew 6:24-21 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be." So what are those things that are grabbing your heart today? What are those things that are causing you anxiety? the Word of God tells us where you spend all your time and your resources, that has your heart. And God says, I want your heart. And so we need to cleanse our hearts, because our hearts are kind of like idol magnets. We see stuff and our heart lowers us right away. And in Deuteronomy, God warns them about that. Let's go to that, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Look at the warning. This is all before they come into the promised land and they're renewing their covenant with God. It says, be careful that you don't forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments, ordinances, statutes that I'm giving you today. When you eat and are full and build beautiful houses to live in, and your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold multiply, and everything else you have increases. Warning, be careful that your heart does not become proud and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of slavery. You see what God's telling us about our hearts? When God answers our prayers sometimes and we get that thing that we've been asking God for, sometimes we worship it more than we worship him. And Moses was telling the people of Israel, be careful that your hearts do not become proud. Be careful that you don't forget God when all is going well. We know how to call God when things aren't going well, right? But what do we do when God's doing exceedingly abundantly more? Sometimes our prayer life diminishes. He's giving them the warning that when we get ready to go into this promised land, I want to make sure your hearts are right before me, that your hearts are pressed into me and not to the things of the world. So then he tells them to purify your hearts. Look at what he says in Joshua 3, 5 through 6. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, because the Lord will do wonders among you tomorrow. Then he said to the priests, carry the Ark of the Covenant and go on ahead of the people. So they carried the Ark of the Covenant and went ahead of them. So the Israelites had to prepare themselves spiritually in order to have an encounter with the living God of the Bible. That's what he's telling them to do. Joshua instructs them to sanctify or consecrate themselves, meaning that they were to purify themselves and set their hearts apart for God's work. That's part of the three-day waiting period. It emphasized faith and trust in God's power to overcome seemingly impossible obstacles. We're going to look at the obstacles in a little bit, but understanding without faith, the Hebrew writer says, it's impossible to please God. So when God tells us something, we have to respond and walk by faith if we can't see it all. It's not a faith that says, I think so. It's a faith that says, I know so, because God said it in his word and he's been confirming it the whole way. A lot of times we think the faith is in ourselves, but it is in God. It also includes their dependence on God, symbolized by following the Ark of the Covenant, which represented his presence and his guidance. They've recognized every time the Ark went before them, they won their wars. God's power was fighting before, and they just had to follow. Dependence is one of those words that we don't like, right? I raise my hand. As a former athlete, I'm going to tell you, Nate, wake up. As a former athlete, Nate was a former athlete. We think we can always play. Nate, I got some news this week. No matter how much weight I lose, no matter how much I go to the gym, my knees are shot. I can't play basketball anymore. Nobody sad for me? It's not a very fearing. I'm pouring my heart out to you. I can't do the thing I love anymore. Thank you. Whoever said that in the back, I needed that one. You understand you have seasons of life. And when I could play, I chose to do it when I wanted to. Now that I can't play, I'm trying to go back to that season that I could play that I didn't take advantage of the whole time. How many people know about seasons like that? You're in a different season, and your body's telling you you're in a different season. And now you have to depend on something else, not something, someone. Learning to depend on God and see what door He's getting ready to open so that you can use your gifts and talents in that way. Well, Israel had to learn how to depend on God for everything. You're getting ready to walk through the Jordan River. Newsflash, when you told me we're going to go through Jordan, how many people you think started huddling in little groups saying, did he really mean the Jordan? Or was he confused? Is that the way we're going to go to get to where we want to go? Sometimes God does stuff to test what's in our heart. If we're putting our full faith in Him, or are we trusting in our own understanding? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's everything that you are. This is where I get in trouble, leaning on my own understanding. I have a small view of things that are happening. God has an eternal view. So even though I think I see something, I got to ask myself, what is God doing? How did I equate God into this equation? So in order to sanctify themselves, they had to prepare themselves spiritually to have an encounter with God, because sometimes the Bible says there's a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it's death. Have you ever turned down the wrong street and you thought that was the right way? And you ended up circling around for many times? That's what God's trying to teach us. Sometimes we think we know all, and we forget to rely in God and what He's doing. So the Israelites had to take specific actions in order to consecrate themselves. Moses laid them out in Exodus 19. Some of them include washing their clothes as a symbol of purity and preparation for encountering God's presence. Abstaining from sexual relations to focus fully and spiritually upon God, just being ready, but rededicating themselves to God's commandments, ensuring they will be free from sin and fully aligned with God. Key word, free from sin, aligned with God. Part of consecration is asking God to search your heart. See if there's any offensive way in there. And if it is, God, help me to deal with it the way you deal with it. Help me to confess it to you. Help me to turn from it. A lot of times God points us where our blind spots are, but we don't think we can go to Him and get cleansing. That's what 1 John 1:9 is all about. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Year 2025, consecrate yourself every morning. Ask God to search your heart. Ask God to do exceedingly and abundantly, use you in a mighty way. Ask him to go before you. But let's start looking at some of these obstacles that the Israelites had to go over. Obstacle number one, uncharted territory. It says, but keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between yourself and the ark. Don't go near it so that you can see the way to go, for you haven't traveled this way before. First obstacle, you've never done this. So God's doing something new in your life. And so in order to trust in him, you got to depend on him 100%. That word see. A lot of us believe we know where we're going, but we're not looking in God's direction. We're going by what we've always done, and God's trying to do something new in your life this year. God's trying to draw you into him more and less of the world. So the first obstacle is uncharted territory. Second obstacle is an uncommon route. When the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of the whole earth goes ahead of you into the Jordan. You hear that? When the ark goes into the Jordan. What are you thinking when you hear when the ark goes into the Jordan? I'm like, is the ark going to float? Is the ark going to provide a boat? Once it gets into the Jordan, when it reached the edge of the water, command the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the water, stand in the Jordan. If I was the priest, I'd go back to Joshua and say, Joshua, did you hear right? Because that does not seem like the best route. You're telling me to take the Ark of the Covenant, but that's the same ark that you told people don't even get close to. Now we're getting ready to take it into the water. So for me, that's an uncommon route. And then last obstacle is an unexplainable event. It says, command the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the edge of the water, stand in the Jordan. When you reach the edge of the water, stand in the Jordan. Now, the Jordan overflows its banks throughout the harvest season, but as soon as the priest carrying the ark reached the Jordan, their feet touched the water at its edge. Jordan is overflowing. There's water. It's four times the size it normally is. And how many people can't swim? It's okay. We're in a safe space. I'm getting ready to lead you into water that's above your head. I just want you to follow. Any anxiety going in your heart? I won't even go on a cruise because of all the water. You're laughing. But I can swim. But when I don't see land, now Houston, we have a problem. Now you're telling me God's going to do something unexplainable, and I'm to follow. I want you to feel the angst that the Israelites feel, because for 40 years they've been waiting for this. This is not something that just came out overnight. Think about it. Most of us event planners, we have a route we're going to take. And we say, God, let's go that route. And when God says no, we do what a lot of toddlers do. We whine and complain. But the Israelites, 2 million of them, are getting ready to line up and watch God work. Valley, if we want to line up and watch God work, we've got to do our part. That means we've got to consecrate ourselves daily. That means we've got to recognize that we have access to a holy God. That challenges us to be holy as He is holy. So that means we have to deal with our sin, and that means we have to be willing to allow God to expose that sin through His Word. After they went through those obstacles, God started confirming some things to Joshua that led them to take steps of faith. Look at what Joshua 3:7 says. Then the Lord spoke to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all of Israel, so they will know that I will be with you just as I was with Moses." Do you start seeing what's getting ready to happen? Just as I was with Moses. As Moses took the people of God from Egypt, it was a body of water they had to get through, right? God showed up and parted the Red Sea. So in the back of Joshua's mind, Joshua understands God's already done something supernatural in their deliverance. So the impossible is no longer impossible, because He reminded me, I'm going to be with you just as I was with Moses. So Joshua became confident, and he started. Look at what he says in 9. Then Joshua told the Israelites, "Come closer and listen to the words of the Lord your God." Stop right there. Joshua immediately gave the Lord all the credit for what was getting ready to happen. Joshua didn't say, "I came up with a great plan." Joshua said, "Come close. Listen to the word of God." He said, "You will know that the living God is among you, and that He will certainly dispose those before you, the Canaanites, Hethites, Hevites, all the Ikes." He's getting rid of all the Ikes. "And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of the whole earth goes ahead of you into the Jordan, now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each. When the feet of the priest who carry the Ark of the Lord of the whole earth, comes to rest in the Jordan's river, its waters will be cut off. The water flowing downstream will stand up in a mass." He told them what God was getting ready to do. How many people are struggling right now? The water flowing downstream will stand up a mass. Getting ready to stand up. Does water stand up? What does water do? Flows. Anybody starting to have questions? Thank you. I got one person in the back, truthful, but it's 2 million of you. One of the biggest things for the Israelites was the parting of the Red Sea. That story was told over and over again of God's mighty acts in Egypt and all that God was doing in and through them. And so this was their Red Sea moment. This was their time to testify of what God did for them. So you see, God's faithfulness in the past brought them to today, to where they're getting ready to share their story. Let me bring it home to you. God's faithfulness to Rory, taking him out of the world, right? Baptizing him in the pool of water, representing his death, burial, and resurrection, and bringing him to new life. Now, Rory has a story to tell of how God delivered him from death and brought him to life. Now, Israel has a story to tell of how God fulfilled his promise to take them into the promised land. But they had to go through the water. They had to believe. And to this day, the water flowing downstream will stand up. I want you to understand, they didn't have X. So the word wasn't spreading quickly about what God was getting ready to do, right? But in Joshua chapter 2, all the people that we heard last week were terrified of the Israelites because of what God was doing. So understanding the words and the actions that God were taking for the Israelites, people were already knowing what God was doing. One of the questions that I have in 25, who am I sharing my moments that God does the supernatural with? A lot of times we think that's for us. This story was one of the stories that was written in the Bible for our witness, so that we have evidence that God's been faithful for the generations. Even though they had obstacles, God was faithful. And in those obstacles, even in the doubt, God remained faithful. What's that one step of faith that God's challenging you to take? What's that one thing that God's going to pull you out of your comfort zone? I don't know what it is. Maybe it's sharing Christ with one person. Maybe it's doing a kind gesture for somebody. You know, they call it, how many people go to Starbucks? No coffee drinkers. Okay. How many people go to Dunkin'? See? We got a lot of Dunkin' people. What if you show kindness to somebody and buy a coffee for somebody? You don't even have to know them. And just say, God loves you. Learning to put your faith in action, not just doing it the same old way. Because if you're like me, I have friends at Dunkin' now. They know my face. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. Either way, God has us intersecting all the time. I'm starting to look at it as a ministry. Because we all have something in common. We love sugar. And Henry, I learned sugar's bad for me. And so I'm going to testify by coming just to talk to them and not buying sugar. Can you pray for me? Valley, that's a real question. Valley, I need you to pray for me, because I want to walk in the newness that God has given me. And part of that newness is I can't look like I used to. I've got to be able to show the self-control that the Spirit gives me to just have an encounter with them so that hopefully they have an encounter with the living God of the Bible. So part of Joshua's whole charge to the people of Israel, we got to have living faith. Faith that walks and talks like Jesus. Look at them as they finish off in Joshua 3:14. When the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carried the Ark of the Covenant ahead of the people. Now the Jordan overflowed its banks throughout the harvest season, but as soon as the priests carrying the Ark reached the Jordan, their feet touched the water at its edge. And the water flowing downstream stood up, rising up in a mass that extended as far as Adam, a city next to Zarethan. The water flowing downstream into the Sea of the Arabah, the Dead Sea, was completely cut off, and the people crossed opposite Jericho. The priest carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant stood firmly on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel crossed on dry land until the entire nation had finished crossing the Jordan. You see, Israel put their faith in action. They took actual steps. But God did all the work. What step is God calling you to? What's that thing that God's tugging at your heart about? Is it a people group? Is it missions? Oh, I got it. Is it being kinder? Is it being patient with people? Because we all have a timetable because we want things done immediately. But maybe God's just calling us to wait on Him to move ahead of us so that we can be in the center of His will. But that starts with us consecrating ourselves daily, not monthly, not yearly, daily. And then asking God to help us to have an encounter. And you know what? In 2025, Mike doesn't know this yet, I want to have an encounters wall that we show all the encounters that God has shown up and done the supernatural. Those moments encourage you to have more encounters with Him. Whether you're praying for a loved one that doesn't know Jesus, whether you had that moment when God stopped you from going someplace and then something happened over there, whatever that moment is, I want to have a wall. This is next week's sermon. They're called memorial stones that show the faithfulness of God. This church has done a mighty good work here in this area. Today, God's doing a work here. And I want us to celebrate what God's doing. It's easy to forget, right? It's easy to push stuff to the side. I want us to have a wall that we see the movements of God and how He's using the people of God to affect an area. Will you pray with me in that endeavor? And will you share your God moments so that we can celebrate? I have a vision, it's real, of over 50 people in that pool being baptized. God showed me that. But it starts with us taking those action steps of being used by him in a mighty way. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for Joshua. We thank you for how you part the Red Seas and how you bring us across on dry land. God, as we walk into this new season, I pray that you would go before us, lead and guide and protect us. Protect our minds, God. Help us not to put you in a box, but help us to let you be God in our lives. Allow us to be better servants of yours. Father, we want to see an awakening in this area like never before. Draw people to yourself. Use us here at Valley that we would share your story and your good news. God, there may be one today that has never put their trust in you. God, I pray that you would release them of that they would trust you wholeheartedly. There may be one that just needs to rededicate their life back to you. God, whatever you're speaking to your people, I pray that they would respond in a way that brings you glory. God, that one that may want to join us here, whatever it is, you do what you do best. Have heart surgery. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We're getting ready to sing one more song. Pastor Mike will be down front. I'll be down front. If you like prayer, or if God's tugging on your heart to join us here, whatever it is, now's your time to respond to God. After that, we'll have our announcements, and then we're dismissed. Please.